Well, another warm welcome from myself. Welcome especially if you are a student or if you are joining us for the first time today. This morning we are continuing our series in the book of Proverbs and specifically thinking about the subject of friendship. Friendship is not a big thing, it's a thousand little things. It's the person who walks in when everyone else walks out. It's someone who is there for you when they could be elsewhere. It's the one who knows you and yet loves you the same. And yet, in this day and age, it seems harder than ever, doesn't it, to find and maintain true friendships. In this day and age where we are more connected, more able to communicate with anyone through social media, mobile phones, the internet, paradoxically, true friendship is at a premium. We strive, don't we, for that perfect group of friends around us, perhaps overly influenced by the idealistic 90s sitcom Friends. And yet a recent survey carried out by Relate suggested that 1 in 10 of us in the UK have no real close friends. Friendship is a subject that all of us here, without exception, need wisdom on. And recognizing this, it is the subject on which the book of Proverbs, Hebrew wisdom dating back nearly 3 millennia, speaks with authority. So come with me this morning on a journey into the heart of what the Bible has to say about friendship. By way of introduction, remember that Proverbs are pithy sayings to help us make right, practical choices in life. They need to be weighed up and applied carefully, choosing the right proverb for the right situation, which in turn leads us to God's blessing for us. The intended outcome of this book, represented, as we've said in previous weeks, by the right path, personified by Lady Wisdom. We'll be jumping around the book today, so to help us, you should have all been given a handout, as Kate said, which you'll see contains on it 3 different attitudes. 3 different attitudes that the wise person from Proverbs has towards his or her friends. 3 attitudes that help us make friends and develop friendships. Let's jump straight in to the first. And that is, with regard to their friends, the wise person cherishes them. The wise person cherishes their friends. Let's remind ourselves again of verse 9 and 10. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. Friendship is a wonderful thing. It is a gift from God. And as such, these 2 proverbs, they praise friendship and they encourage us to value friends, to cherish them. The Christian writer Lee Strobel, he says that people today will admit to any problem, drugs, divorce, alcoholism, but he says there's one admission that people are loath to make, whether they're a TV celeb or they work in a TV repair shop. He says people never want to admit that they are sometimes lonely. He says that loneliness is such a humiliating malady that it ought to have its own politically correct euphemism relationally challenged to make it safer for us to confess. Because, and this is me talking now, it's a taboo, isn't it? It's a taboo in church. It's a taboo in this church. Respectable people like you and I, we just don't confess things like that, do we? Well, Proverbs 27, 9 to 10 has something to say to us. It's not quite to have a friend is to be one, but it recognizes, as one person said, that friendship, well, it's like money. It's easier made than kept. But to keep friends, we need to learn to cherish friends. So, verse 9, first, perfume and incense, oil and incense may bring joy, but something that brings even more joy, literally, even more sweetness, even more pleasantness, is the advice of a good friend. Do you see the heartfelt advice of a friend as a sweetness, or do you see it as a nuisance? But second, such is the value of friends, don't burn any bridges with them. Sometimes it's better to go to your friends or your family's friends rather than your actual family when life seems a bit rocky. Now, maybe there's some wisdom there. Sometimes, families don't always give us the best advice. Sometimes, close friends are a better bet for wise counsel than family, who may be far away, either physically or emotionally. Quite perceptive, wouldn't you say, coming from an ancient Israelite culture where family members were rarely physically far away. Maybe there's someone here who needs to know that, needs to hear that this morning. Surround yourself with wise counsel in your life, but on occasions, and it takes wisdom itself to know when, that wise counsel will come not from your family, but from close friends who can give better advice. And that's why we should cherish friendships. That's why we should value them. Now, why is it that sometimes friends are, as one person put it, the siblings God never gave us? Why is it that sometimes it is indeed better to go to a friend than a family member? Well, verse 10 isn't entirely clear, but there is the hint here that friends are essentially the family that we choose, those that we have decided to have affection for. A brother or a sister has no say. They have no choice in being related to you. And whilst that doesn't rule them out from being your friend, there isn't always that deliberate and affectionate accountability amongst family members. Sometimes quite the opposite, in fact. But because you choose your friends, a friend can be someone who wishes you well for your sake. There's fewer hidden agendas. A friend's advice, if they know you, and if they know how you tick, and if they know your strengths as well as your weaknesses, if that's the case, then their advice is, verse 9, a sweetness, a pleasantness, which is why friendship, says Proverbs, should be cherished. That's why we should value the comfort we feel from being with a friend. The comfort of being at home in their house. The comfort of sharing life, sharing possessions, sharing advice together. I suppose it used to be true that a friend's house is one where you don't have to ask to help yourself from something in the fruit bowl. But now, I suppose it's probably more true to say that a friend's house is one where you walk in and your Wi-Fi connects automatically. Friends are the family you choose to share your life, your possession, and your advice with. And this is something to be cherished, and therefore something to be worked on, something to be given proper priority to. Maybe that's a challenge for us, to those here who neglect our friendships. Maybe that's a challenge here, second, to those who think that family is always and only ever right. So with regard to their friends, the wise person cherishes them. He cherishes them. But second, with regard to his friends, the wise person is constant to them. The wise person is constant to them. Let's read again those two Proverbs, 17:17 and 18:24. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Notice between the two Proverbs the differing views on whether a brother is as good as or worse than a close friend. Again, let me say that the task of applying the right proverb to the right situation is part of the deal with reading and understanding this type of wisdom. What, however, both proverbs are saying is that there are different grades of friendship, and the best sort of friend is one that is constant in their relationship. They don't blow hot and cold. They're there in high tide and in low tide. It's said that in prosperity our friends know us. In adversity we know our friends. And that's right, isn't it? Oprah Winfrey, the American talk show host and media proprietor, she said, quite insightfully I think, lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. That means choosing to love, as 17:17 said, at all times, even in adversity. That means even when you have an argument with a friend, you still see the big picture. It doesn't derail your friendship. You're constant. It means, in a friendship, being like a nail. The harder you're driven, the deeper you stick. And we all need friends like that, don't we? Not hundreds of friends, or even tens of friends. Just one, or two, or three friends who, 18:24, can stick closer even than the biological relationship of a brother. That's much better than a man of many companions, but ultimately no real friends. In fact, the BBC recently reported that people with the most Facebook friends are more likely to feel stressed out by the site, suffering from what they called FRA, Facebook-related anxiety. I'm sure there's an equivalent for Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram as well. Facebook-related anxiety stems, it seems, from the guilt of rejecting friend requests, from delay in replying to them, and the increased chance of abuse, harassment, or even trolling in proportion to the number of friends one has. Of course, friends in inverted commas. A man of many companions may come to ruin. Indeed. But true friendship is one of constancy. One of constancy. One which therefore takes its time to develop. And it does take time to develop friendship, doesn't it? To see how people treat you and how you treat people, even when everyone else has left the building. inevitably in this church, in any church. I'm sure there are some here who can think of situations where you've been that constant friend, or someone's been that constant friend to you through adversity in your life. But equally, I'm sure there are sad situations that come to mind where you've been deserted, or even you've done the deserting when the heat is on. The point is not that everyone in church should be close friends with everyone else in church. That's just impractical. But that everyone should have one or two or three people in their life that they are constant to and who are constant to them. I'll let you in on a little secret. Working in churches, I've always found it a great benefit to have at least two people who are constant to me outside of the church I'm in. And that's not just a benefit because I work at a church. And in one case, I'm thinking of someone who's been constant to me, and I hope I've been constant to over most of my life. So I'm sure there are others here who've benefited from the same, the constancy of friendships, the perspective they bring. Are we constant in our friendships, even in adversity? Maybe there's one person that God is putting on your heart right now, putting in your mind and asking you to develop the constancy of that friendship. So with regard to their friends, the wise person cherishes them. He or she is constant to them. But third, he or she gives and receives counsel from them. Let's have a reminder again of 27:6 and 17. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A journey through Proverbs can't really be complete without that last verse. Friendship is to be cherished, yes. It is choosing to be constant, yes. But it also involves give and take. One man, one person sharpening another. Friendship is at least having fun together. It is at least shared interests. But true friendship is surely more than that. We all need in our lives those who are willing to gently tell us when we're wrong. When we're wrong, we need people who are there to correct us. And we need to listen when they tell us, out of close friendship. It's no use having a friend who changes when you change and who nods when you nod. Actually, your shadow can do that. Because you see, a yes man or a yes woman is less of a friend, more of a groupie, or even verse 6, an enemy whose kisses are hiding the hurt that has or will come. They don't ultimately have your best interests at heart in simply telling you what you want to hear. But a true friend is willing to tell you when you're wrong. And in turn, to be told when they're wrong. Do you have people like that in your life? Those who are willing to say things that may, verse 6, wound you. But actually what they're doing is cutting to the heart for your own good. It's some way towards, though not entirely, arriving at Oscar Wilde's famous line, true friends stab you in the front. And it's a similar idea in 27:17. Literally, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens the face of another. The word face can mean a man's face, or the edge of a sword, or the edge of an axe. So the idea is interaction with a good friend will develop your skills in handling challenges, because he or she will both encourage and correct you. And that's because friendship is God-given accountability to sharpen the cutting edge of your life. Let me say that again. Friendship is God-given accountability to sharpen the cutting edge of your life. Without friends, we'll have no one to tell us when we're wrong, no one to confess to, no one to encourage us. I hope we can see how vital friendship is as part of Christian discipleship. How God gives us friends that we can give and receive counsel to as a means to growth in our Christian walk. Wisdom is a community effort. Maybe you're here and for many years you've shied away from close friendships because you cannot stand the idea of someone talking into your life, someone giving you advice, someone keeping you accountable. If that's you, there's a challenge here. For maybe a smaller number of people, there's a separate challenge. God has placed you in some close friendships, yes, to receive advice, but also sometimes to give advice, to give correction, to say when your friend has got it wrong. Yes, sometimes to speak out. And doing that sensitively and gently out of relationship is a skill in itself, isn't it? We are all, myself included, still wearing the L plates in that department. But the prerogative is to do it still, and maybe there's a challenge there for some. So with regard to their friends, the wise person cherishes them. He or she is constant to them. But the wise person is also willing to give and receive counsel. These are key attitudes to have in developing and in maintaining friendships. Now, bringing this all together, through the centuries, Proverbs has been criticized, actually, as essentially being a book of secular wisdom, devoid of any links to the big themes of the Old or New Testaments. And whilst that's not entirely true, it does at least mean that our method of interpretation is not first to find themes of Israel or the covenant or even Jesus in its wisdom. It means that we do have to first hear and understand what Proverbs meant in its original context first before we can apply its wisdom today. But having done that, I hope, I think it is fair then to look at Proverbs through the lens of the whole Bible. After all, we're reading Proverbs, aren't we, as Christians in 2015, and not as Jews in 800 BC. We're reading this after the whole Bible's been written. And when we do that, reading Proverbs through the lens of the rest of the Bible, I think we realise two things on this subject of friendship. First, the importance of friendship amongst all God's people. Think of Ruth and Naomi, David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. And let's not forget, Jesus himself needed genuine, if unique, friendships with Mary, Martha and Lazarus and his disciples. Friendship is important. It is God-given and it is given as a blessing. But the second thing we realise when we scan the whole Bible is the theme of friendship with the Lord. Friendship with the Lord. In Genesis, it's portrayed as journeying with Yahweh, the God of Israel. It says Enoch and Noah and Abraham walked with the Lord. That simple but profound picture of two people going somewhere together, talking, conversing. That theme is expanded in Exodus and then Deuteronomy. The whole of Israel was to walk in God's ways. In Proverbs, walking in God's ways is related to this phrase, the fear of the Lord we've been exploring. In Job and Jeremiah and some of the Psalms, friendship with God expresses itself in anger, asking God, as a friend, why? And then, of course, in the New Testament, the theme of so many hymns, friendship with Jesus. The disciples walked around the Judean countryside, yes, with their rabbi, yes, with their God even, but also with their friend. And we see, don't we, in the work of the cross, his self-sacrificial love for us, and the challenge to us to be his friend, doing what he commands, as we had read from John 15 earlier. Well, as we've seen this morning, true friends cherish one another. True friends are constant to one another. True friends give and receive counsel. But with regard to God, Psalm 25, verse 14, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Well, may the Lord bless our friendships with one another, and through the fear of right relationship, our friendship with him. Amen. Let's take a moment of quiet, just reflecting on what we feel the Lord is saying to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your secret counsel is for those who fear you. Thank you that you confide and tell secret things to those who put their trust in you. Thank you that you make your covenant known to them. You reveal something of yourself to them. Thank you that even as you did that with various people in the Old Testament, thank you that you did it with your disciples, those close to you. But thank you that through the work of the cross, you do it for each of us here who has put our full confidence in you. And as we face this week with the busyness and the things that we are coming to mind that we have to do this week, Lord, we pray that you'd help us in our friendships. We pray that you'd help us make time for good, solid, helpful Christian friendships. We pray that you would help us to cherish and value our friends, to be constant to them, to be willing to give and to receive, to know how to be corrected, how to be rebuked, how to be accountable to those that you've put in our life. Thank you for the blessing of friends, and please help us in this important area as we seek to serve you and build your kingdom where you've placed us. Amen.